go to God's Word this morning. I'm in a series, I'm going to finish it today, and it's called A Christmas Carol. A Christmas Carol. I've got Ann Brandenberger with me today and her husband John, and she's an English lady. She knows English. I don't know how you put up with me over the years. You what now? What'd you say? She says, I don't know how either. Can you imagine knowing how you're supposed to talk and listening to me, how hard that would be? But anyway, A Christmas Carol is the most famous and beloved book about Christmas of all time. A Christmas Carol. It was written, how you doing, son? You interrupted me. It was written, I don't have the exact date in front of me, probably 1843, 1845, something like that. And a lot of people don't know, I've shared it with you a few weeks ago, but A Christmas Carol was actually, it was a political statement. It was put out to be a response to the way the children were being treated in England. They were working in factories and mills and 10, 12 hours a day, and they were starving to death. And a lot of it was because of the Industrial Revolution. And so a lot of people were, you know, pushing these kids and pushing them to the brink and taking advantage of the poor. And it hit a nerve. Hey, y'all got to be quiet behind the stage back there. I can hear you. Okay, I can't preach if two people are doing it. That's right. I know it is. Chris says, don't blame it on me. He's over here. So back to me. Here we go. So anyway, it touched Charles Dickens, the plight of the children. But why did it touch him? Well, because Charles grew up in a fine home. He was educated. He had many books, but pretty well off compared to everybody else. But his dad went to prison, I think, when he was 10 years old. It's either 10 or 12. His dad went to prison for debts that he owed. And so Charles was left to fend for himself. He had to find a place to live when he was just a kid. And he had to sell his books, many of his books, just to survive. He had to go work in one of those mills. Okay, when he hadn't had to work at all like that, he wouldn't know anything about that. The poverty of those kids. So he became one of them. And matter of fact, he was so different than all of them. They didn't talk right. They couldn't read, many of them. And they called him like a distinguished gentleman. And he was working in their midst. So anyway, he did that. His dad finally got out of prison. But Charles had to keep making his own way and had to keep working in that factory and taking care of himself. So fast forward about 20 years. He sees the plight of these kids, man. And so there was a report that came out from the government, from politicians, that talked about the plight and, you know, the situation with the children in England. And it just those numbers, the staggering numbers of poverty and what those kids were going through, it just really got to him in a bad way. And plus, he could relate to it. Y'all with me so far? I'm not going to do this forever, so you better catch it quick. So it touched him after that report from these politicians in the about 1840s. And so he came up with this idea, and he's going to have a response to it, and he was going to put out a political pamphlet. And it was going to be a response to the government and to politicians taking advantage and business people taking advantage of these poor people, especially the children. You hear me or not? It was going to come out in May. And he changed his mind. He thought he would work on it a little longer. And it became what you know today as the Christmas Carol. It became a book. He actually, when he published it around Christmas of, I think it was 1843, somewhere right in there, when he published it at Christmas, he wrote the politicians, and he told them. He said, you know, I was going to do this in May, but I decided not to. He said, and now what I've got is going to come down with 20,000 times the force upon you people. And so he wanted it to come down like a sledgehammer. And so a lot of times you read the Christmas Carol and you don't really know. It's really talking about a problem with... Hello. Now, how old are you, son? How old are you? You're 13? I will choke you. You ain't but 13. You understand? No, you're good. You turn it off. Who was it? Siri? Tell her to shut up. Shut up, Siri. Shut up, Siri. Anyway, we're back to me. Here we go. So that's the Christmas Carol. It came out as a political statement, really. And when you read the book, and we looked at it, a little bit with the Christmas past. And the book is into five different chapters, or he calls it staves, or they're like stanzas to a song. And so that's the five chapters. We discussed those Christmas past, Christmas present, and today's going to be Christmas what? Future. Well, we know what happened in this book, don't we? We know what happened. People can change. And that's the message of this book. And I think that was his message to government. Government can change. He's talking about English government at that time. But I said it a few weeks ago, and you might not like me saying it, but I don't really give a hoot. But I think this last election, a lot of working people said, we're hurting. We're hurting in this country. And they decided, I'm not going to vote party line anymore. I'm going to vote for this country getting its economy back and doing good again and groceries not being doubled up. You hear me or not? And this idea that it ain't gone up is ridiculous. And this idea you can just keep saying prices ain't no higher, it's pretty good. You're crazy. A lot of people can't afford stuff, can't afford to get rent. Rent even through here went through the roof. Is that true or false? Yes or no? I've been here a long time. It's just crazy. So the bottom line is, that was what the book was about. And it was a statement about, you know, that. But it was great. It turned into an incredible book. Multiple movies, right? We're all familiar with this character, Scrooge, right? Say, what is Scrooge synonymous for now? What is a Scrooge? A Scrooge is a what? Stingy miser. See, with his book, he changed language. Because now we know Ebenezer Scrooge to be miserly. And so when you're called a Scrooge, that's not a good thing, is it? Amen? So let's pick it up right here. And you're like, golly, is he going to do this? If you're for the first time, you're like, man, I got to get out of here. Okay, hang in here. We're going to finish it up right here in the story of the Christmas Carol. And normally I don't do this. I just preach the Bible and that's it. But I wanted to do this with you. Well, there's five chapters of that book. And the third spirit, the ghost of Christmas yet to come, harrows Scrooge with dire visions of the future. So he has multiple visions in this book, and finally now it's the future. It's the future. If he doesn't change his ways, his future's not good. Okay? If he does not learn and act upon what he's witnessed in these dreams, he's going to die a miserable man. So what happens? Well, he sees his own, say it with me, neglected and what? Unattended what? Grave in the dream, in this book, in the dream, the vision he's having in his book. He sees this unattended grave. Now, this is a wealthy man, a rich man. He had so much, but he sees his neglected grave. And guys, that hits every one of us. Every one of us will die. Every one of us are going to have a grave, and you can have money till the cows come home. But that's not going to mean somebody's going to give a hoot about you when you're dead. Do you hear me or not? My mother didn't have any money. My mother didn't have money. My mother was killed, murdered by my stepdad in 1993. But I got a picture yesterday on my phone. My brother went by my mother's grave. What? 31 years later? 31 years later, and my brother put beautiful flowers on my mother's grave, and he sent it to me. And he did that on behalf of our family and anybody that goes up into that graveyard, because our mother mattered to us, and he didn't want her grave to be unattended. And she didn't have money, but she had love and she had a reputation. And all these years later, our family still remembers our mama. You hear me or not? Say, call us crazy. We like it. Amen. Come on. Come on. Just talking. What about your grave? What about you when you die? Think about your life. Who are you? Will anybody even care? A fact is this, you're going to die one day, and I'm going to die one day. It's going to happen. This book has a lot of truth in it. Y'all hear me or not? Say, I change one day when I'm dead. No, you ain't. You're dead. Time to change is when? Is it now or is it tomorrow? It's now. Today's the day of salvation, the Bible says. You've come to church here today. You're watching on. You could be saved today. You could say, hell no, I ain't going. Hell no, I ain't going to hell. Got it? By putting your faith in Christ. That was ugly, wasn't it? No, say no to hell. Say that out loud. Say no to what? And yes to Jesus Christ. You can do that today. And that's one thing this shows us. If we don't make a change, something's happening. So it prompted, he saw his grave, and it prompted the miser to change his what? Ways in the what? Hope of changing the shadows of what might be. And the other thing is this, a lot of people live their life and they think, it's too late for me. It's too late for me. I've had people tell me that, Gary, I've done so much, it's just too late for me. That is such a devil's lie. It is bull. Your life could be changed today. And whatever life you got left, live that life. Amen. Say, live that life to the full. You can be changed. My mother, when she got saved, she was a drunk. That very day, she went home that very Sunday, poured that liquid gold alcohol down the sink. Never drank another drop. I'm not saying it's going to happen just like that for everybody. You never know what can happen in your life when you put your faith in Christ. How many with an uplifted hand say, Pastor Gary, Christ did something different in me, and I'm a different person because of Christ in my life. I am not the same person. He did a work in my life. Amen. Beautiful. So we see that through this book. We'll finish it. Here we go, Roger, with the book. In the fifth and final stave or stanza, Scrooge awakens when? Christmas morning. But wait a minute. He awakens with what? Joy and love in his heart. He's a changed man. He made a choice. He spends the day with his nephew's family after anonymously sending a prize turkey to the Cratchit home for Christmas dinner. Scrooge has become a what? How quick? The Bible says, if any man or woman be in Christ, he's a new creature or a new creation. If you know it, say it with me. Old things are what? Passed away. And all things become what? New. Do you see how this book has a little Bible in it? Y'all hear me or not? Did you know books back in the day used to have a little Bible in them? They were trying to help people, not screw people up. And if you're writing books today without the influence of God or influence of Christ or the influence of the Bible, it's pretty rough. Amen? This guy, he hit a winner. Top-selling book of all time about Christmas. He became a different man overnight. He now treats his fellow man, let's say it, with what? What does 1 Corinthians 13 say about love? It says, love is kind. See that? That's a mark of Christianity. Look at this one. Generosity. God loves what kind of giver? A cheerful giver. He loves that. That's what God wants out of your life and my life. And then he became a man of compassion or a man of love. Is that God's will for our life? Yes or no? So it's a great book. It's not the Bible. But I can certainly see. So I can see some biblical lessons in that book. Y'all hear me or not? Good book. He gained a what? He gained a what? A reputation as a man that embodies the spirit of Christmas. Let me ask you this question. How many would say, Pastor Gary, Christ is coming in my life. I'm a different person. And not only that, I had a bad reputation. I had a bad reputation. And God has helped me to not have a bad reputation anymore. And I actually have a decent reputation now. Anybody want to give some credit to the Lord? That was me, Pastor Gary. That was me, Pastor. That's nice, ain't it? Come on, man. Praise the Lord. I love that. So that was a little bit about the book. Now let's turn the page. Are y'all ready or not? Say, that was just the commercial. Come on, let's go. I'll do my best to get you through this. My Christmas future. my Christmas future. And this is for all of us today. And I'm just going to tell you a little bit about the, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the Christmas story a little bit. Y'all ready or not? You cool or not? Let's talk about, son, how you doing? What's your name? Nikolai. I love that name. That's fancy, like a king or something. Come on. Just keep your phone off. Here we go. This is a message on hope. Would you say that with me? No hope equals what? And I'd like to take you to school with me a little bit. I'm going to take you back to seminary for just a moment or two and talk really intelligent to you. The world into which Jesus came didn't have much hope. When you take your Bible from Genesis to Malachi, a lot of books right there, okay? And 39 of them. And then you come over, what's the first book in the New Testament? Matthew. Well, see, there's a space right in between there of 400 years. Would you say that with me? How much space? 400 years. There was 400 years of silence. You might think, well, that's not that long. Bible covers, you know, a couple of thousand years. Our country is about, in a year or so, we'll celebrate 250 years as a nation. Let that sink in. 250 years. Add another 150 to that. That's 400. That's how long it had been since a prophet had been heard from the Lord. Pretty dark. Yes or no, amen. The world into which Jesus came had no hope. No hope whatsoever. Keep pushing me, buddy. Israel was now ruled over, say it with me, by the heavy hand of the what? The Roman Empire was not a Christian organization. They were known for their brutality, for their heavy hand, for their murder, their imprisonment, their burning cities. This is the world into which Jesus came. We've made it into that. Oh, little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Don't talk about all the crap going on. The Roman soldiers, the raping, the pillaging, the brutality. This is the world into which Jesus came. But he can't, your life's too rough for him to fix. You a lunatic. He came into this kind of world. And wicked Herod was the what? Now, he wasn't the king of the Roman Empire. He was the king of that region. He had been given authority over that area. Check out your history books on that if you don't believe the Bible. The world in which Jesus came didn't have much hope. They wondered, will Messiah ever come? You know what I'm saying? How many of us in our life, because something didn't go our way, we blame God? Okay? Lost my job, blame God. The wife leaves me, blame God. Can you imagine 400 years? Can you imagine how dark religion would have been? Can you imagine that? Yes or no? Yes or no? It was crazy. And that's the world in which Jesus came. There was no hope. No hope equals what? No future. These people didn't have a future. It was very dark. Boy, aren't we blessed to live in America. Let's thank Him again. Come on, let's thank the Lord. Are we living in a different place? Look at that. Look at how God has been good to us. But let's keep looking. Now, when there's no hope, why don't you learn this scripture with me? When there is no hope, you're what? Say that out loud. When there's no hope, you're what? How many, food-wise, health-wise, test-wise, you were fine. But because you had no hope, because maybe a job, a marriage, a death of a loved one, because you had no hope in your life, if you've been here before, you raise your hand with me and you were sick to your stomach. How many would raise a hand? That was me. I raised my hand. I know what it's like to be so sick. Your life's shot or your relationship is shot. You just stop eating. How many ever did that before? Stop eating. See, that's my problem now. I'm happy. That's where fat and happy came from. You know what I'm saying? Come on, man. My problem may not eat too much. My problem is I'm just too happy. Anyway, not really. Keep going. Here we go. Let's go to the Bible. Would you say, back it up, buddy. Let's say that verse to you. Let's learn this Bible verse. It's a good one. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. One more time. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when the desire comes, it's a what? But look at that first part. Back it up. Say that with me again. Hope. Yeah, can you imagine 400 years of deferment? 400 years. Can you imagine how hopeless the people were when Jesus came? It's just something we don't think about. Because we got Jesus. We've always heard about Jesus. We live in America. But that's not what Jesus saw. He saw the hopelessness. He sees your hopelessness, my hopelessness. He's a great God. If you get to know Him, you're going to love Him. I'm telling you. The Bible says in Ephesians, and you hath He quickened, say it with me, who were what? Dead in trespasses. How many remember that in your life? You remember when you were dead in your trespasses and sins? Remember that? Remember your life, your past, your mess, your struggle? Do you remember? But Jesus came into a dark place. He came to this kind of environment. So let's just keep looking. And we're pushing just a little bit. Hang in here with me. We actually believe we know what we're doing up here. Keep going. Roger, help me, buddy. So hope was born when? Years ago, I wrote a song. Out of the silence, music. Silence for 400 years. Out of the darkness, light. Out of uncertainty, promise. Hope was born that night. That's what happened. When Jesus came, hope came. That's why when people say to me, you don't preach Jesus, do you? You don't believe in Jesus, do you? Does your church teach Jesus? Why would we not teach hope? Okay? Hope ain't no political slogan around here. Hope is Jesus Christ. There's no hope without Jesus. Jesus came to give us hope. Okay? And you just need to know that when you see this story. So that's how dark it was. Now let's look at what happened. Now the birth of Jesus was on this wise. Now you know a little bit of the history, what it was like. It was terrible. It was on this wise when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph. So they were committed to one another through family. It was an arranged marriage. But before the wedding day, before they came together, before they had sexual relations, she was found what? Pregnant. What? Found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, he was what kind of man? He was a just man. And he didn't want to make her a public example. Because if he would have made her a public example, Mary would have been what? Stoned to death. He was minded to put her away then privately. So this was going on in Joseph's mind. And don't forget, this is the dark world he lived in too. And while he thought on these things, I'm sure he had all kinds of thoughts in his head. The angel of the Lord appeared unto Joseph in a dream. Said, Joseph, you son of David, don't fear to take unto you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Now that's a crazy dream. Amen. I had a dream last night. I'm a dreamer. How many are dreamers in this room? How many dream like, you dream like crazy, don't you? I dream like crazy. It's not good sometimes. But today was the dream. It was weird. I'm not going to tell you about it. I'm just going to tell you part of it. But the dream today was, I was dreaming and something in the dream had something going off. Mang, mang, mang. But it was in my dream. But it's also my clock. Now, usually when my clock goes off, I just am quick to go, whoop. But since it was in my dream, who knows how long it was going off? Because it was in my dream. Have I driven you crazy today? How many do that sometimes? Anybody like that, like me sometimes? That was crazy. So I made it on time, but I was a little later than normal getting up. So Joseph had a dream. And the angel said, she's going to bring forth a son, Joseph. And you shall call his name what? For he shall do what? Save his people from their sins. Another reason we preach Jesus here. Here's the reason. The name Jesus means God saves. Say that out loud. The name Jesus means God saves. There's no other name given among men whereby you must be saved. there's only one way to heaven. I'm the way, the truth, the life, Jesus said. There's no, you cannot come to the Father but by me. Why would we say that religion will get you there, that religion will get you there, that one will get you there, when it's contrary to the truth? Did you hear me? You might say, that's just your opinion, Garrett. That's not my opinion. That's the Bible. If you don't believe the Bible, be man or woman enough to stand up and just in your life and just say, I don't believe the Bible. But why have I got to believe like you do when you don't even believe? Capiche? Call his name Jesus. For he'll save his people from their what? Sins. Is that what we need to go to heaven? Yes or no? That's pretty much what we need. I need somebody to take care of my sin problem. That's why Jesus came. And so Joseph didn't know her, didn't have sexual relations with her until she brought forth her firstborn son. And guess what Joseph did? Take a wild guess. He called his name what? Which means what? God saves. Are you saved today? Well, I'm a good person. Oh, how about Joseph call him good person then? I've been baptized. Well, name him baptism, Joseph. Baptism won't save you. Good works won't save you. Good looks won't save you. Jesus saves. Is that the scripture, pastor, over here? How many years did you pastor? Are you still running a ministry up there now? How'd that ministry go this summer? Did it go great? Are you getting to preach almost every week up there? You're doing it? Good. According to the Word of God, is there any other way to be saved? Is Jesus it? And you've given how many years of your life to ministry and reading the scriptures? You actually have a little education too, don't you? Who are you going to believe? Got it? Yes or no? I had three other pastors in the first service. I got a sneaky feeling every one of them would have given that same answer. Quit believing a lie. Jesus came to a world where there's no hope. And there's still no hope. There's no hope in your world without Jesus. But guess what? He came and you can have hope. That's why Christmas is incredible. There were shepherds in that country, very dark time, abiding in the field. They were keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord appeared unto them. What? Have y'all seen the New Jersey drones? And now they're in every state, but we don't know what they are. Nah, don't worry about it. Come on. But can you imagine being a shepherd? And it looked like a drone. But the drone talked. Can you imagine? All they hear all the time is, meh, 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 meh. And all of a sudden an angel appeared. Wow. Boy, Jesus did a lot to reach us. I love this story. The angel of the Lord came upon them and the glory shone round about them and they were what? Sore afraid. If you're ever sore afraid, you're really scared. And the angel said unto them, what? Calm down, guys. Who knows what they were doing? I bet they were running. The shepherds, ah! Or they got a slingshot, or they threw their club at, ah! We don't know what to buy. The Bible doesn't tell us, but they had a slingshot. Who knows? I know I'd have been doing something. I wouldn't have been like, all right. It was a dark time. They hadn't heard from the Lord. And now Joseph's hearing from the Lord. And now the shepherds are hearing from the Lord. And the wise men are hearing from the Lord. And Mary's hearing from the Lord. And Elizabeth is hearing from the Lord. Boy, the silence is over, isn't it? God's speaking again. I love this. And they said this, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David. Say it with me. A Savior, which is... That's who we celebrate. Christmas. Why would I say happy holidays when it's Christmas? Amen? Praise the Lord. My Christmas future. By the way, I knew none of this growing up as a kid. I knew nothing like this. But that's not me. I've changed. I'm like Scrooge. Amen? What a story. Guys, there'll always be hope killers and Merry Christmas stealers. There'll always be a battle for Christmas. And there is a battle. And I say we stand up for Christ. Amen? live for Christ, love the Lord. Okay? The Bible says, say that part with me, the thief comes not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So back in the story, the last couple of weeks, and I'm not trying to belabor it too long, but the last couple of weeks I've been talking about the wise men, and we'll finish up right in through here. And Herod and the wise men. So let's look at it one more time. So when Herod the king had heard these things, what things? That there's a child that's been born. There's something happening. Okay? They've been silenced. I mean, this was something that was upsetting to him. He was troubled by it. And all Jerusalem with him. Wonder why it says that, all Jerusalem with him. Here's what I think. I think because God hadn't spoken in 400 years, it was a period of silence. It was a period of just really dark ages. I think that's when religion turned big time. And I think that's when the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and they became more and more the ruling authority. And they were making the rules and they were calling the shots. And it became a disgrace. Did you hear me or not? Jesus came to him and said, you've made my father's house a den of what? Thieves. He called them vipers and snakes. And he said, your insides are like full of what? Dead men's bones. See, they had become like that. That's my strong opinion over this time. So Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, he inquired of them diligently, when did that star appear? He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you found him, bring me word again so that I might come and worship him also. Why is it young child? Because it would have taken them some time to get there. How old was Jesus when the wise men got there? I'm not quite sure. But he wouldn't have been a newborn at that time. Y'all hear me or not? And when they heard the king, they departed and loaded the... And they didn't fly in a jet plane. No. It takes time. And when they heard the king, they departed and lo, the star which they saw in the east before went before them till it came and stood over where the what? Young child was. And when they saw the star, they what? Rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come in the house, they saw the young child with mother his Mary. They fell down. They worshipped him. And when they opened their treasures, say it with me, they presented him gifts. What kind of gifts? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. How many have heard this before? Good, 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 good. We're still here. Let's pick up the story, though. And being warned of God in a dream, the wise men were warned that they should not return to Herod. They departed their own way into their own country another way. So what happened? What happened? Well, Herod, when he got wind of this, when he got wind that these wise men weren't coming back to him, when he realized they were mocking him, that's how he perceived it. He was really exceedingly what? Wrath, mad, angry, steaming, fuming. And he sent forth, and you know what he did? He slew all the children that were in Bethlehem. And guys, that's why I am deaf on abortion. Did you hear me, yes or no? Did you hear me, yes or no? Okay? I don't want to be like Herod. Y'all hear me or not? And some of you, that might make you uncomfortable. I know bad things happen. I know people get pregnant. I know there's pregnancies that happen. But that doesn't mean a kid's got to get killed. You hear me or not? Say. Yeah, but it's a hard time. Look, this was the worst times on the planet. These were 400 years of dark ages. This was one of the most rootless, horrible times in humanity. If it's not allowed here, it shouldn't be allowed now. Got it? Say. Are you hearing me? You just need to know the scriptures. Are you fearfully and wonderfully made, or are you a blob of tissue? You're fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen. Say. Okay, so, but we see it right here. This was a wicked man. And he killed the kids from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Here's something else I thought of. You know how many people hated Jesus when he came? Can you imagine growing up as a boy named Jesus? Now listen. You grow up as this boy named Jesus, he grows up. Can you imagine the parents that had children his age that were slaughtered because of that kid? Do you hear me or not say? I just never thought of it like that. Parents who would have hated that family. I lost my kid because I lost a child. I lost our twins because of that. You hear me or not? This was really a dark time. Not a lot of hope, guys, when Jesus came and we see what Herod did. But let's close on some positive notes. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God loves you today. That's why He came. A lot of mess happened when Jesus came. God did not give His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to make bad men good or to make good men better, but to make dead men live. Let's thank the Lord. Amen. That's why Jesus came. Amen. At Fellowship Church, I hope that when you put your faith in Christ, I want you to put your faith in Christ. I want to see a change. I want to see growth in you. I love that. I want that. Okay, that's through Christ. But I'm not here just to try to make you better. Come here, Gary. You'll be better. A lot of people hear me and probably are worse. I don't know. Hope not. But we're not about making you just better people, guys. I want to see you in heaven. Jesus came to a dark world and brought hope. And I want that for your life this Christmas. Again, the Bible says a thief comes not for to steal, to kill, and destroy. And He's still trying to do that. Jesus said, I'm come that you can have life and you can have it more abundantly. Amen? And that's what Jesus wants for you. Because of Jesus Christ, I have a what? You hear me or not? And I'm living proof of it. You can put your faith in Jesus Christ and you can have an incredible future. You might not be a preacher like I am, but God, and you've got your own story. How many would say, boy, has God given me a future? I mean, He has helped my life. Look at me. Look at me now. Look at me now. Look at what God's done for me. Because of Jesus Christ, I have what? Hope. And I'm going to finish this. Roger's going to throw some scriptures up real fast. My Christmas future. This is what I got when I got Jesus. See, the heart deferred is sick when you don't have hope. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. Jesus came to a sick world. But Gary ain't sick no more. My future's so bright, I got to wear what? Yeah. Amen? Come on. And that's your future. Let me show you what you have. Because of Jesus Christ, the Bible says, my hope is in who? Don't put your hope in yourself. That's pretty sad. Don't put your hope in you. Put your hope in Jesus Christ. Hope thou in God, the Bible says. I'll just highlight some of them, Rod. Just go with me, buddy. Push me, buddy. Hope will save you. The Bible says, say it with me. For we are saved by what? Hope. But hope that's seen ain't hope. For what a man sees, why does he hope for it? But see, our hope is a confidence. It's a confidence that Jesus Christ came. He died on a cross. He rose from the dead. That is my hope. The Bible says, without faith, I can't please the Lord. So I'm a hopeful person because I have Jesus Christ. Keep looking, buddy. Push me. Hope cheers me. The Bible says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and we do what? We rejoice in hope. We don't live in the dark ages. I have Jesus Christ in my life. Jesus said, these things have I spoken to you that you might have peace. In this world, you're going to have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I've what? I've overcome the world. No matter what, I'm fine. God's good for me. Good with me. I love this scripture. Hope secures me. The Bible says there's two immutable things in which it's impossible for God to lie. We might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the what? Hope that's set before. Say that part with me. Which hope we have as a anchor of my what? Soul. So no matter what happens in life, I can make it. Say that out loud. No matter what happens in life, I can what? And what would that answer be? Because I have who? I have Jesus in my life. You might think I'm a fanatic. Good. Doesn't bother me. My hope secures me. I have eternal life because of Jesus Christ. Do you today? I hope you do. Hope fills me up. Now the God of hope do what? Fill you, baby. That's me, baby. With all joy and peace and believing. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Just finishing up. Beautiful. Hope will endure. I have full assurance of what? Hope till the what? End. Jesus said in the Great Commission, and lo, I'm with you how much? Always, even unto the what? End. This is who we have in Jesus. Hope speaks. The Bible says we're to give an answer to every man of the what? Hope that does what? That's in us, guys. So, Jesus Christ. I know I'm making a case here. I'm pushing. This is my future. This is your future. And hope makes me not what? Ashamed. I'm not ashamed of Jesus. Now, I don't think we ought to shove him down people's throat. That doesn't work. But to be ashamed of Jesus? Gina, when I went and did that service for you, it's in a public place. It's a park. But we're not going to be ashamed of Jesus. And I love that you asked me to come because you're not ashamed of Jesus. He's our hope, right? And that's what we have. He's the anchor of our soul. You might say, Gary, why are you doing this today? I don't know. I just have to get on your nerves. Hope blesses me forever. And if in this life we have hope in Christ, we're all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead. And he's become the first fruit of those asleep. Okay, our hope isn't miserable because Christ came, he died, he rose from the grave. Do you know Christ as your Savior? That is our faith, guys. Oh, death, where is your sting now? Oh, grave, where is your victory? Talking about that old grave, remember Scrooge's grave? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So who are we now? We're hopeful people. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, be unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Hope. That's my future. That's who I am. That's my life. And I'm changed because of Jesus Christ. Amen. Have hope this Christmas. And this is something I've been doing for years. Say that out loud with me. Now do it like Santa Claus. One more time. I am convinced that that's the way it was supposed to be. Say it one more time. One more time. Now try this one. Try this one. Not. Try this one. Ho, ho, ho. It don't have the same ring to it. You hear me? That's why I preach this message on hope today. It ain't ho. Ho, ho, ho. What's that? I don't even know what it is. Do you know what ho is? We don't want to talk about it. What's ho? Ho. Ho means ho. Don't go. You know, you ever said that? How many say that? Ho. Ho's this. Come on. So here it is. Here's my Christmas blessing to you. I've been doing this for years. It's hope, hope, hope. Don't lose the P.E. And that ain't physical exercise. It's praise and what? Don't lose the praise and excitement of Jesus. When you have Jesus Christ, you ain't got no ho, 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 no mo. You got hope, 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 baby. Hope, hope, hope. I ain't broke, baby. Hope, hope, hope. Amen. Come on. Let's thank the Lord for his word. I'm done. I know I rambled towards the end. I ramble sometimes, man. Come on.